Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, your word is filled with a lot of instructions, and it tells us how to be righteous. And yet, Lord, we still struggle with how it applies in our own lives. And sometimes, God, we puff ourselves up with pride. Father, we pray that you would humble us when we need to be humbled. And we pray, Father, also, that you would lift us up in your wonderful grace, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what if I told you that you were righteous based on your ability to remember some of my dad jokes that I told you? How would you do? I remember some of the first jokes that I told you from the very first Sunday that I was here. Why did they call them seagulls? Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels. Good. Keep is righteous. Everything else you lost. No. There we go. Yes. Why do they call them seagulls? Because they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels. Love that joke. Never gets old to me. Probably gets old to my darling wife, though. Jesus is dining at the house of the Pharisees in our story today. And the Pharisees, of course, those are the priests, those are the religious leaders in those days. And we come to find out that it's actually a fairly big banquet that Jesus is invited to. And there's not just lawyers there, or there's not just the priests there, but there's also lawyers there. People who are concerned with the law. But something is interesting there, something else that is there, makes this text very interesting because it begs the question, what if are they trying to do to Jesus here? One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of the ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. They were trying to see if they could trap Jesus. And behold, there was a man who had dropsy. Now, I looked it up this week, and of course, my notes fell out, and I don't have what it's called today. But what dropsy is it's an extreme painful swelling in any place of your body. Imagine like a foot being blown up to the size of a balloon on a plane. That is dropsy. And in the Old Testament, one of the things that would keep you from going to the temple is if you were sick or you had some kind of blemish on your skin, you were kept from going to the temple. There's two reasons for that. There is one, just the basic health reasons. If you're sick, stay home and don't get everybody else sick. But there was this theological reason too, where during the fall, we became unholy and we could not be in the presence of God. And so if you went to gather and worship with him and you had a blemish on your skin, you needed to stay away until your skin was healed. That is the letter of the law is, you're sick, stay away from me, right? And boy, we can kind of get that when we understand what happened with COVID, right? Oh my goodness, you got COVID. And it was almost like, well, did you not wear your mask? Or what were you doing to catch COVID? And there was almost this element of shame if you caught COVID. Right? But the spirit of the law is completely different. The spirit of the law is still to remain loving and compassionate to all people. So the spirit of the law behind the name of COVID should have been, I don't want to spread the sickness to people. But there came that feeling of shame when you caught it, right? the same thing with this man with dropsy. These holy men and these lawyers, they're looking at this poor man who has dropsy, and they're thinking of him as the unrighteous. In fact, it probably further shows what is on their hearts, that he is even around in their house, given that he has dropsy. So you know that they're trying to trap Jesus. They have seen Jesus perform miracles before. They have seen him. They have heard of many of his miracles. And they're going to see if he helps the man on the Sabbath day, which is a commanded day of rest, where it says throughout the scriptures that you're not supposed to labor on the Sabbath, but you're supposed to keep it holy. In fact, that is one of the commandments from God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That does not mean, letter of the law, that you can't, like, watch football after church or something like that. Although, it does kind of, when the Chargers or whoever your favorite, or for me the 49ers, when they fumble or something like that, remember that you do want to keep God's name holy, so you don't want to cuss too much at the TV or at all, period, right? But the spirit of the law in this isn't, you shall go to church or else. But it's, come and rest. That's the spirit of the law on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, well, speaking of football or fumbling, they're dropping the ball here with this understanding. So Jesus, he asked the question, knowing what is going on. He says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And of course, everybody there remains silent. And Jesus takes the man and heals him. And they remain silent. He asks them, which of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into the well on the Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. What did Jesus just do there? He trapped them. So, yes, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're supposed to rest. But he's saying to them, yet if you still had an ox, what are your animals that helps grind the grain in your field, that helps you with the harvest? If he fell down that well, you and all your neighbors would work so hard to work on getting that ox or that sheep or whatever animal it was. You would work hard to get that animal out of the well, because that is your animal. That is your well-being. And Jesus isn't condemning them doing that at all. He goes on further and says, what if it was your own son? You certainly would try to get your son out of the well if he fell, whether it was the Sabbath or not. No one's going to say, sorry, Junior, see you in 24 hours. And so he's trapped them, and he has shown the light on their hearts by saying, you should also, if you have the power and are willing to help someone else out, do it. Help them out. Don't be a hypocrite. You help your son, but you're not going to help this poor man with dropsy? Jesus is saying to us that the point of God's instruction is not so that we can puff ourselves up and say, look, God, look at how good I'm doing. Love me. Bless me. That's not the point. The point of God's law is to demonstrate that, you know, there's something that's not quite right. I try to do good, and yet I feel like I completely fall short. Or I realize that there's something that's just broken in this world. Or perhaps there's something that, you know, I'm seeking all these things that the world is telling me to seek, and I feel like I've been successful, and yet something is just missing. I need to just, there has to be something more. Maybe it's even, you know, the fear of death. As we are sometimes reminded just how mortal we actually are and how fragile life is when we are in this world. I remember as a kid, it was really easy to evangelize talking to other kids because you could just easily talk. You know, kids, they're just so blunt. What do you think is going to happen after you die? Adults don't quite talk like that. But it's a wonderful talking point when we want to talk about Jesus. What happens? How do you know where you're going? Can you have assurance? And this is what separates Christianity from every other major religion. Yes, there are things that Christianity has in common with every major religion. That is true. But what makes us completely different is this. We acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. And we see that God has come to help us. He has come to save us. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, the Sabbath is not for you to try to show me how righteous you are, but it is for me to come and gather you and to heal you and to remind you that I love you and that I care for you and that there's a God in heaven who does see you in this world and does want to save you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to protect you. He wants to be with you. We have a God who wants to help you. We have a God who wants to call you his own child. Whether it's Buddhism, where you try to work hard and sacrifice to gain enlightenment, or it's another religion that has a God like Islam or something like that, where you, or Hinduism is a great example because you have thousands of God in Hinduism that you're trying to please in order to get into the caste system. And with those religions, they never know if it's enough. How do you know that you've been righteous enough? I know that I really messed up here, but if I do this amount good, if I'm like 90% good and 10% bad, is that enough to get me in? Did I sacrifice enough animals and burnt offerings to please God? There's a lot of religions out in the world that still do that. I know a pastor whose very first call was to go out to an island off the east coast of Southeast Asia. And he and his wife were the only two Christians there. And they watched one of their religious services where they sacrificed a bunch of animals. And that pastor asked one of the people, he said, how do you know if that was enough to please your God? And they said, we don't. And yet, in our children's message today, I'm redundant because I asked them, what did Jesus do for us that is so important? He died on the cross. He took our place. Because we all fall short. We all need God's help. And yet, no matter how you fall short, no matter what sins you have committed in the past, even no matter what sins you're going to commit when you walk out this door today and tomorrow, if you believe in the one that God sent, you are forgiven. You are saved. That is Jesus. That is our God. That is what he came to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And something changes. Instead of working to be righteous or to look good, we are set free to actually love. And our actions are better and more loving towards our neighbor. I've given this example before, but I'll give it again because it just works so well. Imagine you're driving in a car and you see someone on the side of the road broken down. It's Keith, you know? You see Keith broken down on the side of the road. And you're like, you know what? I gotta earn some karma. I gotta do some good. I wanna look good, so I'm gonna stop, I'm gonna pull over, I'm gonna help Keith. Now Keith, he's benefited greatly from you pulling over. But did you do that with that attitude? Did you do it for him? Or did you do it for yourself to be more righteous? Now let's say you see Keith on the side of the road, and you realize and you just love him, and you just see that he's in need, and you pull over, and you realize you're just helping him out because he just needs help. Because you're already righteous because Christ died for your sins. You're not any more righteous by giving Keith a ride. But you're just doing it because Christ loves you and you want to share that love with Keith. Completely different attitude. Keith benefits either way, that is true. But remember, God sees the heart. And that's why Jesus tells this parable of this wedding feast, where he says, don't seek the place of honor, but be humble. And we have to watch out for false humility. Don't pretend to be humble. Don't pretend to look humble in order to be exalted. God knows that. False humility is still seeking the high place. But remember that when you humble yourself before God, you are lifted up before Him. When you think, I've got it made, I know what is best for me, no one can tell me what to do, this God stuff, that's fine, whatever, maybe that's for you, but it is not for me. I have it all together. I'm perfect and wonderful. That's where you're in trouble. That's where God might bring you low. Jesus is not outwardly trying to condemn the Pharisees and the priests. He's condemning their actions and their hearts, for sure. He's condemning the lawyers there who are misunderstanding the law and trying to do that. He's doing this to bring them to repentance, to show them a better way. God wants all people to turn and to believe and to be saved. That's who He is. And so on those days where you do try to do good and you fall short, because let's face it, we all can do stuff religiously and want things done just right, or want people to do things just right. And the stress level comes up. Because things aren't being done right, or there's too many things to do. But when you are set free by grace, and you know that Jesus loves you, our labors can become acts of love, not things to do. Christianity is sometimes called, some people like to say, it's a relationship, not a religion. And in some truth, there is some truth to that. But what we saw today with the baptism, what we're doing in gathering here, what we're about to do when we take communion, these are religious acts. But we do them not to gain our own glory, but we do them because Jesus comes to us through these acts of religion and forgives us and reminds us who we are. That's why we remember this Sabbath day. That's why we gather as a family of Christians. This is why we try to keep God's law. Not for the sake of our own glory, but because God has already glorified us in his Son. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.